Welcome, welcome. Now, can everybody hear okay? Because I know we've had problems in the past. So we're hearing some yeses and some noes. But I know there's a lot of talking going on around us as well. So that might be part of the no reason. And I know folks are getting situated at their tables. But I wish to welcome you to the banquet of our 80th year of being CCB. And tonight is going to be a celebration. Yes, it is. Okay. So at this point, what I'm going to do is, without any further delay, I am going to give the banquet over to our banquet MC. Please, everyone, welcome Ron Brooks from Phoenix, Arizona.
Thank you so much. Welcome to this banquet and to this big bash for the California Council of the Blind. I am so glad to be here. I am honestly not sure why I am here. I'd like to think it's because, you know, maybe it's because I'm a Board of Publications member and I've written and I can put grammatically correct sentences together and all that good stuff. Or maybe it's because I'm a former Californian and a former member of CCB. Maybe it's just because I'm Donna's friend and she asked me for that reason. Maybe it's because I'm from a first-rate city in a second-rate state with third-rate teams with fourth-rate politicians who are almost as bad as the politicians in California. Or maybe it's just because my wife called Donna and said, please, you got to get him out of here. I really need a break. But whatever the reason, I am so pleased to be here and so excited to be a part of your banquet. This is my fourth speaking engagement for the weekend, so I'm nervous. I'm nervous that I can't come up with anything new to interest you. But here's my promise. I'm going to do my very best to keep you interested and engaged and having a good time. But first, I guess I should probably introduce the head table. Both because it's what I'm supposed to do. She told me to do it. And second, because I think I'm going to forget everybody. So let me just start to my left. To my left here, we have Miss Artis Bazin. Artis. Yeah, give her a hand. By the way, she really looks good in red. Red wine, that is. Next to Artis, we have, is Richard Lewis here? We have Richard Lewis, is the CEO and president of the California Music Theater. And I thought the only theater in Sacramento was coming from the Capitol. Can you tell I have a degree in political science? I love political humor. Yeah. So, and to his left is our pastor, Reverend Donald Lee from the First United Methodist Church of Sacramento. We'll hear from him in a second. To my right is my friend, your friend, your outgoing CCB president, one of the nicest people I know in the world, Miss Donna Pomerantz. And just like that wonderful, wonderful Disney, I have kids, I have three kids, that wonderful Disney movie, Beauty and the Beast. The Beast, Mitch Pomerantz, is to her right. Boy and how. And to his right, we have our speaker who I'm going to talk a lot about in a little bit, Mr. Albert J. Rizzi from My Blind Spot. To Albert's right, we have the California Director of the Department of Rehabilitation. And I, by the way, I was talking to him before the banquet, Joe Xavier. I was talking to him before the banquet, and it's just amazing to see how far an unmotivated vendor can go in this state. Hey! To his right, we have the newest CCB board member and Capital Chapter President, the inimical Chinese fortune teller, Paul Patchy. And the only problem I have, Paul, is you didn't give me my winning lottery numbers. I'm not very happy about that. And to his right, and CCB Life member, Foster Brown. So there's your head table. Let me give you guys just a few minutes to settle in and dig into your salads, and we'll come back. I'm sorry. I am not from a very good church-going household. We're supposed to have our invocation before we eat. So let me just stop and introduce Reverend Pastor Donald Lee, First United Church of Methodist Church of Sacramento, to lead us in our invocation.
Well, thanks. I don't think I'm on here. Thank you very much, everyone. I invite us to be in a moment of prayer. O God of us all, as we join together this evening, we offer our thanks and praise for the ways you call us to faithfulness, for the love of neighbor, for the care of the sick, and for justice for all. We give thanks for these, your faithful servants gathered here, who have worked tirelessly to advance the cause of those without sight, access to a full life, unencumbered by the boundaries of ignorance or indifference. And we pray they will continue to know your courage and strength for the work that lies ahead. Some of us here tonight are sighted and some are not, O God. Grant that each of us can experience your blessing of seeing with our hearts, caring deeply for each other, supporting each other, and working in each other's best interest. This is your love in action, a love that knows no bounds. And finally, we give thanks for this food we are about to share as it strengthens our bodies, and for the friendships we hold dear that strengthen our lives. We pray in the name of your most holy God. Amen.
So eat, drink, and be merry, and we will be back in touch in just a couple of minutes. Well, you can keep enjoying it, because we've got just some things that will hopefully interest you and keep you engaged here. But before we do that, here's a great way to keep you engaged. Let's give some stuff away. So let's start with the door prize. Who's my door prize guy? We're going to have Albert Rizzi draw it because we know that New Yorkers are very honest. Yeah, right. Okay, great. So the Capital Chapter is donating an Afghan puppy that you can take home. I'm sorry, it's a 50 by 50 inch Afghan. I'm sorry, I messed that all up. Handmade by who? Kathleen Merman. Okay. Leslie Tom, you've got yourself an Afghan.
Yay, Leslie!
All righty then. Let's do one more, and then I'll have... Go ahead. Una más. All right, so the Glendale Burbank chapter has donated a basket of snacks. It's a very pretty basket with flowers on it and snacks in it. So there you go. Let's see who's got this. We are going to have our... Frank Welty.
Yay!
Congratulations. So now that you guys have properly gotten some stuff off the head table here, it was getting kind of crowded up here. I just want to talk to you for just a few minutes before we kind of move the program forward, because this is the only chance I get. So So if you want it to be quick, laugh. If you don't want it to be quick, sorry, I lied. So, this is a very important year in the history of humor. For those of you who don't know, I am from Indiana. That's not the joke. Okay, so I am from Indiana, and I spent the first 2 years of my life, the first 2 years of my college career, after that first year, which I'm not going to talk about, the next 2 years were at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. Now, Ball State University is a great little college, and it's not known for a lot, but it is known for Mr. David Letterman, our most famous alma mater, our most famous alumnus, I'm sorry. And David Letterman, of course, announced his retirement. Now, as a loyal Ball State University student, I didn't graduate from there because it occurred to me later I might need a job. So I graduated from Indiana University. But as a student of Ball State, I always paid attention to David Letterman, and I loved the top 10. Loved it every night. So, as all of you know, I spent time here in California, 6 years to be exact, from 1990 to 96. I loved it here. I lived in San Francisco, lived a little bit out in Union City, right across from the BART station. Spent some time. I'm not even listening to her, just so you guys know. spent some time back in the city. Met my wife there, Lisa. Yeah, she's good. So anyway, so I love California. But now I've spent 8 years in Arizona. And I love Arizona, too. I love the warm weather. I love the fact that I can be, it's just a great place to live. My kids are doing well there. It's just a great place to be. So I thought about the top 10 reasons why I'm glad that I live in Arizona. So here we go, number 10. With all of the Chicago Cubs and White Sox fans retiring to Phoenix, because both teams play there in spring training, the pizza and the beef just keeps getting better and better. And eventually, it's going to be as good as back when I used to live in Northern Illinois. And I got to tell you, it is a far sight better even now than that stuff that the New Yorkers call pizza. I hope we don't have any New Yorkers in the room. Number nine. Okay. Although our politicians occasionally embarrass us, sometimes, they are still quite a bit better than a lot of the politicians in the neighboring states of Nevada and California, and that makes me feel a little bit better each election day. Number eight, Phoenix is becoming just like Los Angeles. Oh, wait, who put that in there? Number seven. Yep. Our governor may not be as flashy or as old as your governor, but she can still read a really good speech. Kind of. No, but it has to have those little words, too. She doesn't read those big word menus, let me tell you. Number six. The really trendy restaurants in Phoenix and Scottsdale are starting to serve desserts with bacon on them. I think a Californian must have come up with that idea. Number five. We may not have a full-time state legislature like some states do, but our politicians can screw more stuff up in 2 months than the politicians in Sacramento can screw up in one day. Number four. I can put up and take down the holiday decorations in shorts and a t-shirt, and I can post summertime photos to Facebook in February. Maybe that's why my family back in Indiana is not talking to me anymore. Number three. The experts are predicting that within 20 years, Phoenix is going to be just like Southern California. That gives me plenty of time to pack. Number two. I don't think it really costs very much for the CCB to bring me out here, so maybe they'll do it again. Eh, maybe not. And the number one reason why I am so glad to be an Arizonan, we're really, really close to California, which gives us a really good place to send our recycled politicians. Can you say education? All right. So there you go. I'm going to go ahead now, and I'm actually going to start inviting some other people up so you can hear from some other people. The very first thing that we would like to do, and this is kind of changing gears. Excuse me? Oh, man, I'm shouting into this thing. So the next thing that we would really like to do is hear from people who have made a lifetime commitment to the California Council of the Blind. You know, that is the supreme kind of wonderful thing, you know, to talk about a compliment. I'm going to be a member of this organization until I die. So we want to actually hear from those people, let them have an opportunity to be recognized, to share a few words with us. So we are going to invite them up right now, and I just want to ask. We're going to invite first Mary Lou Louise, if you'd like to come up and just, she's going to speak from her seat, so.
Hello, okay. Okay, my name is Mary Lou Ruiz, and I am associated with the CCB. I joined through the East Los Angeles chapter, and we're talking about 40 years ago, and I actually joined that chapter because my brother was partially sighted, and he chose to that chapter. He worked with John Lopez and Maria Lopez, and then my mom came into the picture, and she was their driver, and she was very, very dedicated to the chapter. I was raising my family, so I didn't have time to get involved, but I eventually did. They hooked me. And so I've been with them forever, and I still am a member. But as far as the conventions are concerned, I started working with conventions when John Lopez became president here. And it's been many, many years, and I've been really involved with the organization. I love all of you. I've seen people come and go. I've heard many good and sad stories. People think I should write a book about this organization. Tell all. And I've worked through the years with many, many CCB staff members. I always look forward to seeing each of you every year, and I'm always so sad when we have members that have gone, but we love them through the years. I did enjoy volunteering at these conventions, and I would not be here if I didn't really, really appreciate each and every one of you. And to close, I want to tell you all I love you, and also to let you know that I am as old as a CCB. I was... I was also born in 1934. And I love you all, and it has been my pleasure to serve you, and thank you.
Yeah. Wow. That's a lot. Thank you so much for that. So we have another life member that we'd like to hear from now. We've already, I've been hearing him all night. So, you know, I just a moment of personal privilege. I met the next person probably back when I first joined CCB. I think there were times when I was chairing resolutions in the mid-90s here that I could hear his voice in my sleep, or maybe it was just in my waking nightmares at 2 a.m. trying to get the resolutions done. But to introduce our next life, or to hear from our next life member, Mitch, a.k.a. the Beast Pomerantz.
I like it. I like it. This is my 42nd year as a member of the California Council of the Blind, which means that I go back to that time when we were part of the other organization. And yesterday, Artis and I did the first timers, and we had two folks there, Jennifer and Jason, and we got to talking about our history. And I said, I was a little too young to be involved in the first Civil War, but I was assuredly involved in the little kerfuffle that took place in 1977 and 78. And a number of you here tonight were there as well. The reason that I am a life member of both CCB as well as the American Council of the Blind is because I don't believe that in this country individuals can accomplish anywhere near as much as groups. I was a political science major in college, and so I have had for a very long time a deep and abiding belief in collective action and advocacy. And because of that, through thick and thin, through my first convention, when I introduced a resolution in the fall of 1972, and Al Gill and Muzzy Marcellino tried to run me out of the hall. Nonetheless, I stuck around. And I came through our rather unceremonial departure from that organization in 78. And our welcoming into the American Council of the Blind in 1984. And to this day, I have no regrets about what transpired during that time and subsequently. I believe in this organization. I believe in the membership. I believe in collaborative and concerted action, and I will be a member of this organization until the day I die, which is going to be at least 50 years from now. Thanks very much.
Guys, is this on? Okay. Love the mics here. Love the mics. Just to tell you real quick, Mitch has always kind of been my mentor. I never told him that, but one of the people that I watch, because he's really good at doing the politics, I am eating the mic. Doing the best I can, guys. I don't control the sound. So Anyway, so Mitch is one of those people that I've always watched because he's really good at balancing the politics and still not losing his mind. And I'm one of those people, I get all worked up. So I really appreciate him as a leader and as a mentor. And so I'm really glad that I got to be here when he got to speak to you. Next, I'd like to introduce another life member for CCB. She's been here since the late 90s, I think, and has made a tremendous contribution at so many levels. And I'm going to turn the mic over to Artis Bazin.
Hello, all of you. I moved to California in 1999 from Iowa, and I really respected the California Council of the Blind for all you do here. I mean, I love Iowa, but California has such a diverse population, and I really enjoyed participating in the conventions and participating, working with each one of you. And so I felt it was really important to become a life member last year. In fact, actually, I talked my husband into doing it too. So we both became life members last year because I think CCB does so much for its members and does so much for blind Californians. A lot of people don't realize what we do for them. We have lots of resources that we share with non-members and members alike. And I don't think they realize how much benefit it is to be a member of CCB. And I really love to encourage people to become involved in CCB and learn about all the resources there are in California for blind people. So I want to thank CCB for all it does, and I really respect the leadership in CCB. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The final life member that we're going to hear from tonight is Foster Brown. I don't know Foster well, but I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about his reflections on life membership with CCB. Foster?
Hello? All right. So some of you actually know who I am. I was speaking to a group of students earlier today that Richard Retta had brought up here to part of a workshop, and he asked Donna, he asked Nellie, and he asked myself to speak to the students. And a question was posed to me, what are your feelings on independence and interdependence? And once in all my life, I wanted, you know, as being visually impaired, I wanted to try to be as independent as possible. But when I found out about CCB back in 04, I realized that those things that were accessible to me to help me be independent were part of, had to do with CCB and its advocacy within the state of California and within the local communities. And that was something I wanted to be a part of. So then that's where the interdependence came in, because when I joined, I started to participate in the various committees and activities of CCB. And I strongly encourage anyone that is a new member or not a member to join this organization, because it is worthwhile. It is going to be around till the apocalypse. It helps your network of people so that you don't feel alone in this world, which is really tough to deal with, especially when you have a visual impairment. So it's a great organization. It's something that I have been looking for all my life, and I was able to find it. And I really want to send a much thanks to Ed Crespin. Yeah. Ed helped me find out about CCB, and also he was my rehab counselor, and he did not give up on me because he saw the potential that I had. And CCB, what's our theme in CCB? We have a different vision, and that's what CCB is all about. Thank you.
What a fantastic comment, Foster. I really am glad I got to hear that directly. I want to turn the microphone over to Donna Pomerantz. She just wanted to share something really quick. Donna?
Thank you. As you know, I will be my last day sitting in the seat as CCB president will be the last day in June, just a few months away. But I want to share something with you this evening that even my other half doesn't know that I was planning on doing. Believe it or not. Even though he says I've been through that before. Oh, really? Oh, my. I did. I am handing Ed Branch $100 in cash because one of the things that CCB does is they allow someone who wishes to become a life member of this organization either to pay in full or to pay in installments. I may be stepping down as CCB president the last day of June, but I believe so much in this organization that I am going. Yes, Artis.
Nope, it's not on. Okay. Madam President, before you go further, we have a surprise for you. We have given you a life membership in CCB. It's from the board of directors to Donna Pomerantz.
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, my gosh. I am in tears up here. How did you? Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. Wow. You knew. Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you. You guys, oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. This means so much to me, and I just want to thank all of you, and I plan on being here for a long, long time to continue advocating side by side with all of you. Thank you. And I can't believe all of you kept this from me. Thank you so much. Giving it back to Ron. Thank you.
So Donna's reaction is proof of her commitment to this organization, and I just it's just awesome to see that. So on that note, I don't know how you follow that, but fortunately I don't have to. The person who has to follow that is sitting to my left, and she's going to give some awards herself, and that's Artis Basin. Artis.
As membership chair of CCB, I have the privilege each year to give some awards. I give two growth awards to two chapters or affiliates who have the most growth during the last year. And this year, both of the awards go to special interest affiliates. The percentage growth award goes to the California Library Users. ...52% growth. The second award goes for the most number of members, 22 members, is Guide Dog Users of California. The third award I'm really proud to give is one we haven't given the last 2 years because we did not have any applicants for the Chapter of the Year award. And unfortunately, no members of this chapter were at the convention this year, but I'm still glad to be able to award the Chapter of the Year award to the Humboldt Council of the Blind. This chapter did so much as a group to really focus on getting audio-described movies in their theaters. And they had people actually go in front of the theaters and hand out flyers of why they should have audio description. They went to the media. They really went all out. And they asked other California members to help them. And I understand Margie Donovan assisted them in some of their efforts. So we really appreciate Californians working with other chapters to help them to be able to advocate to do better. So I'm so glad to give the award, Chapter of the Year award, to the Humboldt Council of the Blind. And we have a plaque. Okay. And I'll have Ed read the plaque.
California Council of the Blind Chapter of the Year Award to Humboldt Council of the Blind for its extraordinary group efforts in getting audio-described movies into local theaters. Presented this 12th day of April, 2014 in Sacramento, California.
And I want to urge all chapters to work on a group project and present your letters to us for next year. Thank you.
No.
All right. Okay.
No members of that chapter were able to make it this year.
Well, this is really great. I think it's time for another door prize. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
So let's do another door prize before we bring up the next report here. Okay, we have a folding travel bag from Jeff and Leslie Tom. I guess they want somebody to go somewhere. Mary Lou is doing the drawing here. Let's see.
John Marcotti. Are you here? Not here. Draw again. Eric Clegg. Eric Clegg, you here? Nope. Draw again. This one's here, Foster Brown. Foster Brown. All right. All right. So we are now going to have another report. This is a report from the CCB Awards Committee. I'd like to invite Chairman and of the committee and Second Vice President Roger Peterson to come up and do that presentation. Roger.
So, I'm sorry. Yeah, we have two publications awards, and I want to be sure that the chair of the publications committee gets to present those. I can do that now, or I can do the ones that the awards committee presented.
Get the mic really close to your mouth.
Okay. Okay. So we're doing the award. Can I defer to publications for two awards? I have two publications award plaques here, and I believe that the chair of the publications committee wishes to present them. Is that okay?
Okay, I think Roger was slightly confused because I asked him to keep the plaques in his backpack. He wanted to give them to me before he came into the hall, but I was too busy balancing my ticket and my wine glass to take two plaques. So here we go. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The Publications Committee each year awards two awards for articles in the Blind Californian. One is for issue-oriented article, and the other one is for a lifestyle article. First, I'd like to do an honorable mention to a person named Olivia Ostergaard, who wrote an article called Easter Dog, I believe that was the title. A charming piece about which she is going to include in an autobiography she's writing about an incident that occurred with her guide dog in church. So the winner of the and Ed, do we have the plaques? Okay. The winner of the issue-oriented article is Vita Zavli for an article in the BC called Wearing My Employment Heart on My Sleeve. Vita is a very good friend of mine, but that's not why she won. She won because Vita has street cred. This is a woman who has worked since she was out of high school and has made her way to expertise in her field of assistive technology. Nothing has kept her back. And she has written beautifully about the task of finding employment. She just does it all. And so I guess I'm going to have to wend my way back to the streaming booth where Vita is doing the streaming this evening to present this plaque. We're going to do that? Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's what I want to do. This nice gentleman, Mr. Branch, is walking me over there. Cardboard, but here it is. Would you like to?
Sure. I am speechless, and you know that's not easy. I'm really surprised. Oh my goodness, great! I have to say, when I became unemployed because my company, the company I was working with, laid off people. I was absolutely shocked. I had worked for 20-something years, and, you know, so now what do I do? So that experience of going from being employed to being unemployed to finding employment, I thought was so, it takes you through so many emotions that I thought it was really worth writing about. So thank you very much. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Okay, I will announce the other winner here. You know what's interesting about the blindness community and these articles? We had trouble as a publications committee deciding which is a lifestyle issue and which is an issue-oriented issue. We look forward to the day when employment moves over to the lifestyle category. And so here's an issue. We put this as lifestyle, but it could have fit under issue-oriented as well. The award for the lifestyle goes to Alice McGrath for the article on the Braille Challenge. It's a lifestyle. It's an issue. And we're going to bring the award to Alice now. Here you go, Alice. You know, I didn't have Ed read what's on the plaque for Vita, which I probably should have done. But why don't you read it for Alice? And Vita will make the necessary adjustments.
California Council of the Blind Publications Award, California Council of the Blind Publications Award, Best Lifestyle Article of 2013 to Alice McGrath for the best and brightest stars at the National Braille Challenge, the Blind Californian Fall 2013 issue, presented this 12th day of April 2014, Sacramento, California.
Oh. Thank you. You have to kiss it.
All right, not to sound redundant, but I am actually very, very shocked. And I feel privileged because the Braille Challenge is something that is very near and dear to my heart. So thank you.
And that concludes our awards presentations. It's one of the best activities that I participate in. Thank you all so much. And thank you all for reading The Blind Californian.
Yeah. Okay. Is Roger?
No, Roger's going to do his.
Okay, now we're to, yes, okay, hello, hello. Now we're to the awards that the awards committee adjudicates, if you will. The first one you've already heard something about because when we were introducing the head table, there is a theater group in Sacramento which has started producing theater that's accessible to the blind and visually impaired parts of its audience through a cooperative arrangement between the Capital Chapter ACB, which is the CCB Sacramento affiliate, and the theater company, and the top people in the theater company. And we, when we introduced the head table, we heard that there's a fellow named John Lewis. No, Richard Lewis. I'm sorry, Richard Lewis. I can't read this print. Who is the CEO of the theater? We have been notified by the Sacramento folks that they're really enjoying their theater. They're getting audio description, and they're getting access to meeting the cast and examining the props and the costumes. I like the costumes especially. So we decided that this merits a humanitarian award, and we have one here. There's an app for that, as I say. And we'd like to present that to Mr. Lewis. Yeah, you want to read it?
California Council of the Blind Humanitarian Award to California Musical Theater, CMT, of the Sacramento, California, with Richard Lewis, President, Chief Executive Officer, and Barbara Haig, Assisted Arts Program Coordinator, who have instituted a full-featured accessibility program for blind and visually impaired audience members of their productions, including one audio-described performance of each production, as well as opportunities to meet cast members and examine props and costumes. This program has been developed with maximum input from the blind and visually impaired community, notably ACB Capital Chapter, the CCB affiliate in the Sacramento area, presented this 12th day of April, 2014 in Sacramento, California.
Okay, now, some of you, some of the people that...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Richard Lewis. I have to finish the whole intro. President and CEO of California Musical Theater, Music Circus, and Broadway Sacramento. Thank you. This week we have Sister Act running at the Community Center Theater. And in fact, today we did have, for the matinee, we did have a descriptive services for those that need them. And we also had a tactile experience prior to the matinee. It was terrific. I know we had a lot of folks there, and we're very pleased. Very happy that California Musical Theater is at last stepping up and doing what we should have been doing for quite some time. We had a little economic problem for a while, and there's an equipment purchase involved, but everything is okay now, and I want to thank in particular my own special little nudge, Margie Donovan. Richard, this year, okay, and we did it. We launched it. We're done. So from now on, every production will have a Saturday matinee that will have the descriptive services. As often as we can, we'll also do the tactile experience or a meet and greet prior to that matinee. Have a terrific season lined up for the Music Circus. Got another one coming up for Broadway Sacramento. And we're looking forward to having all of you folks attend those performances. Thank you.
Okay. So we're not quite done with this one. And I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to just ask Ed to read this plaque. Suspense.
California Council of the Blind Humanitarian Award to Margie Donovan, whose long-term activism was recognized by the Community Service Award from CCB in 2005. Now she has used her advocacy and communication skills to bring together the California Musical Theater and the ACB Capital Chapter, CCB Sacramento Area Affiliate, to make local theater productions accessible to blind and visually impaired audience members with audio description and contact with cast and props, presented this 12th day of April 2014, Sacramento, California.
Well, several years ago, I got a plaque, and I remember not being able to talk because it's about helping blind parents keep their children. And tonight, I'm tearful, but I can talk because this is about access for blind people of all ages. I am shocked. I am delighted. I am filled with pride. And thank you. I don't know how you kept this from me, you guys. I also want to say, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I also want to say, Richard, it could not have been done without you. And it could not have been done without your team. And it was truly a partnership. And everybody in this audience strives for audio description. Everybody's bringing me tissues. Thank you. And this is what we strive for. And I'm on a national committee. And we're striving and striving for this. And I'm very proud to be a five-year member of this area, Sacramento area, and to already have audio description. So thank you, Richard, and your team. And CCB, quit messing with my head.
Okay, before I go on to the final award that we have tonight, I want to thank the members of my committee. They are Mary Beth Randall from Fresno, Susan Hyatt from San Jose, and Michael Williams from Compton. This was a very communal operation, and we all got together one way or another, mostly on the phone, and got it done. And we think we did a credible job. Hope so. Now, as I said, there's one more award. It's a small one, but you know, we thought we'd save it to last. We finally decided after a few years that we know somebody who belongs in the Hall of Fame, the CCB Hall of Fame. We get to put people in the Hall of Fame when we think somebody deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And we do it, you know, we don't do it every year, but we do it when it's appropriate. And the Hall of Fame plaque is a big plaque that hangs in the office, and it has little plates on it that say all the people who are in it. But then we also started making a plaque for each inductee into the Hall of Fame. And this one we have here. And by the way, the engraver said this was some kind of a record for filling up a plaque with letters. And they charge by the letter. So I think I busted the budget. But let me have Ed read this Hall of Fame induction plaque.
California Council of the Blind Hall of Fame
Mitchell Pomerantz. whose decades-long career with the City of Los Angeles, culminating in the position of an ADA coordinator, coincided with a volunteer life of leadership and advocacy, beginning with state and local leadership and progressing to the presidency of the American Council of the Blind. In California, he created the Committee on Employment Assistance, which funds loans for equipment needed by blind or visually impaired people to obtain or retain employment. In the American Council of the Blind, he led the organization through a comprehensive strategic planning effort to chart the course for ACB's future. Now he is on the world stage as a member of the Executive Committee of the World Blind Union, inducted this 12th day of April, 2014, in Sacramento, California.
I'm almost speechless. You heard from me enough. Donna has this addiction to Everybody Loves Raymond. And we have seen every episode probably at least 5 times. But I will quote my favorite character on that dysfunctional sitcom, Frank Barone. Holy crap! Thank you all so very much. This means a great deal to me. Thank you, thank you.
All right. Wow. You know, it's funny. I haven't been in California in a while, and you know, when Margie Donovan is called a nudge and a humanitarian, I know times have changed. Yeah, it's a true one too. So I'd like to turn the microphone over, just so you guys know, because I know these awards take a minute. We've got a couple more awards to do. Got some donations, and then we're going to hear from our keynote speaker. So just hang in there, and I'm going to turn the microphone over to Artis.
I'm pleased to announce that we have another chapter in the California Council of Blind. And so we're going to present a charter tonight to the Lakewood Council of the Blind. And I would like Michelle to come forward and accept the charter for the new Lakewood Council of the Blind. Greater Lakewood Council. Yeah, Ed will read the charter. Thank you.
California Council of the Blind, Charter of Affiliation. Fraternal greetings. The California Council of the Blind herewith issues this Charter of Association and Certificate of Membership to Greater Lakewood Chapter CCB and makes it known that said chapter is a duly constituted affiliate of the California Council of the Blind in the state of California, having assumed that relationship in the month of April 2014 by properly authorized action of the California Council of the Blind. In verification whereof, I have this day affixed hand and seal of the organization, Donna Pomerantz, President, Judy Wilkinson, Secretary.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of the Greater Lakewood Chapter, we could not have done it alone. And together, we can, and we will, make wonderful things happen. Thank you.
I keep hearing these women cheering, and I just wonder if they realize that I'm actually happily married. So we've come to the time in the program where we are going to invite members of chapters who are making donations to the California Council of the Blind to be acknowledged so that you can announce your donation. I would like you to do is if you could just raise your hand once you have a microphone, if you could announce yourself, your chapter, and your donation so that you can be recognized.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Steve Forge, president of Bayview Chapter, who is donating $250 to the general fund and $150 to the scholarship fund. Thank you.
Wow, thank you.
I am Mike Keithley. On behalf of the Hearing and Vision Impaired Committee, we're working on getting assisted listening devices and equipment for the convention, so the entire convention is covered. And I will be soon be donating more equipment to something like $2,500 to CCB to further this goal. I do need some feedback from people who hearing impaired people who might use this equipment as to what kind of headsets they would like. And if you want to give feedback, contact Roger. Or me, Mike Keithley. Thank you.
Okay, we have one more that Ed is going to read. If there are any others, raise your hands. Ed's going to read one right now.
She's looking for it. Shepherd Vendors of California have donated $250 to the CCB General Fund.
This is Pam Pology. I'm the president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter, and we are honored to present to the general fund a check in the amount of $500. Thank you.
Give it to me anytime.
Okay.
Okay. Is our treasurer in the room? We have someone who donated to our scholarship fund. I wish to announce his name, and our treasurer will announce how much this person donated. Richard Rueda was not able to come to the banquet today. However, Richard Rueda did donate to the CCB Scholarship Fund, and our treasurer will share the amount.
$100 from Richard Rueda. Dawn, I'd also like to announce another. Basically, Connie Gill gave the Blind Californian $510.
And we also have a donor who wished to remain anonymous, who has donated $400 to the conference and convention as well.
All right. Okay. So how about before we start with the keynote address, let's have another quick door prize. Because I haven't won yet, and it's about time.
Okay.
$25 in cash and a dark chocolate bar from the Silicon Valley chapter of the Blind, my former chapter. Come on. I will draw it. Let's see here. Let me see if I can draw my own name. That would be kind of cool. All right, here we go. Artist Bazin. All right. Here, I'll hold that chocolate for you. You know, ever since I made that comment about the girls cheering for me, I haven't heard them say anything, so I don't know. Not sure what that means. Okay, let's not think about that. So, this is, I have been waiting for this moment for like a month. I mean, maybe longer, but a month that I knew about. You can usually tell when someone is going to have a destiny to do great things. Now, I'm not talking about financial great things or necessarily powerful great things or money or any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about somebody who's going to do great things that make a change in the world, that make things different, that change and move us in a new direction that we weren't going before. And you can usually tell those people. In 1991, a guy named Albert Rizzi got his Bachelor of Arts degree from a little college called Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York. Now, Albert started with a pretty, he started in a pretty auspicious way. He, from 1994 to 2001, he enjoyed a career with a large apparel manufacturer called the Jones Group, doing managing their licensing, some of the contracting functions, marketing, a great job, and frankly, a great job to get started with in your career. He managed licenses, he negotiated contracts, he did marketing, he helped them kind of, you know, move their brands forward. $300 million company. But that was not where his destiny was going to lie. He was going to do even more. In 2001, Albert traded in his career in corporate America for the classroom. He actually became a teacher of primary grades in the New York City public school system. Yeah, no kidding. I have kids. I believe it. Albert was his, and what he shared with me is that he enjoyed engaging kids through using games and songs and technology. And his focus was on finding new ways to bring technology into the classroom. In 2004, Albert broadened his reach within the education field and educating kids by becoming the director of the Mark After School and Pre-K program. In this role, Albert directed a staff of 40 people, contractors and subcontractors, who developed curricula and educational programs for kids ages 4 to 12. These are very solid contributions to his community and to the kids in his community. But there was more to come. On January 6, 2006, Albert Rizzi came out of a drug-induced coma and opened his eyes to a world that had gone dark. The meningitis that had sent him into a death spiral and nearly caused his death, stole his vision, stole his eyesight. But it did not steal his vision, and it did not steal his determination. Albert picked up the pieces, and he learned to travel first with a cane and eventually with a guide dog. Then he learned to navigate the New York City subway system. I've been on those trains. That's impressive. He even drove a race car in a blindfold race, which is actually not as impressive as being on the New York subway. He also went back to school and earned his second MS degree in education. The first one he had gotten in 2003. This one he got in 2008, working with supervision and administration. He did some counseling work, and in 2009, he really moved his career kind of in a brand new direction. And I think this is where those contributions began to really, really stand out. In 2009, Albert started an organization called My Blind Spot. He's the founder of that organization to this day. Albert, in this role, My Blind Spot is really about debunking stereotypes about people who are blind and visually impaired and about the limitations that we all must endure. The focus is on building partnerships with other organizations and companies and developing products and services that promote accessibility, technology, employment, and that improve the lives of blind and visually impaired people. Now, I got to tell you, I am really, really excited to introduce Albert for a number of reasons. First off, I had never heard Albert's name until about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. We were both involved in the guide dog movement, and I certainly came across him there. I also share something else in common. As a frequent traveler in my prior position, which I just ended, I was platinum on U.S. Airways. And I think Albert would have been platinum, except he couldn't seem to stay on the damn airplanes. While I was getting upgraded to first class, he was getting sent back into the terminal in Philadelphia. By the way, I'm upgraded on the way home there, Albert, just so you know. But anyway, be that as it may. So I got to tell you, I've been on a lot of airplanes, and I've seen a lot of really bad service, and I've gotten myself into a little trouble. I have never had a plane load of people walk off in support. So anybody who thinks that he was a jerk in that situation was probably wrong, because I could never get people to support me. So he must have been doing something right. Albert has a love. He has a love of honest, biting humor. He has a passion for doing what we can do to make things better. He has a passion for basically making this world better and for doing what we can to make sure that we get what we need so that we can do what we need to get done. I am really, really excited to introduce Albert. He is a speaker who has spoken to thousands. He is sought after on the lecture circuit. We have him here tonight, which is really our blessing. So without any further ado, I introduce to you Albert J. Rizzi.
Well, I don't even know what to say. I didn't expect him to be so nice to me. I'm so humbled right now, Ron. Thank you so very much. Coming from leaders like you, hearing the words about my life and hearing about my accomplishments and things I've yet to do, it really hits me. Thank you. And to be sitting next to Steve and Edie, I dubbed them that at my very first convention, the very first ACB convention I went to. I got to listen to Donna and Mitch talk, and I was like, oh, my God, they're like the best comedy act ever. So to be sitting here with them, leaders in our community, I'm very, very humbled. I want to thank Donna for inviting me to be here today. I want to thank all of you for accepting me into the CCB through the GDUC. I'm a formal member there now. Thank you. But yeah, thanks to Vita. Vita was beating me up for that in Margie. That's right. I heard that in Echo. You know, it's interesting how I got here. Don't you start, Margie. I have the microphone. You just have tissues. I had taken ill. Like Ron told you, I had what we thought was a sinus infection. It was misdiagnosed, and it turned out to be full-blown meningitis. I was in the hospital for 2 months. I nearly died. I'm 6'2", and usually 190-ish, and-ish. Well, you never know, it fluctuates. That was Pam, wasn't it? Yeah, I could tell. Even your ish, I could hear. And I went down to 120 pounds. I put my family through a very bad time, and I actually almost had last rites read to me until my mother threw the priest out of the room and said, "Not my effing son." And I'm very proud of her for saying that, even though I think it was totally inappropriate, but that's my mother. And some of you who know me know I got that from her. And then January 6th, the day of the Epiphany, I woke up, and I... You don't think I deserve to be on the Epiphany? And it wasn't anything I didn't expect, oddly enough. And it wasn't until 2 months after the fact that I said to my mother and my father and my family, I'm like, hey, you know, when I was able to start making sense out of that morphine-induced haze that I was living in, was I upset about being blind? Did I freak out? And my mother was like, yeah, no. She goes, you were sitting there going, I'm blind. And I kept rubbing your arm saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And you're like, no, Mom, I'm blind. I'm going to be blind. And there was this calm, peace, and acceptance. Until I didn't get the Caesar salad that I wanted a few days later, and it was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which I threw across the room, and then I followed with my mother's tradition of foul language. And my father was very upset about that because he doesn't talk like that. And my father cleared the hospital room. My nieces were there, my nephews, my entire family, my brother, my sister. And my father said very clearly, it sucks to be you. If I could take this from you, I would, but I can't. I didn't raise a quitter for a son. I raised a leader. So you're going to have to suck it up and be one of the best blind people you've ever known. Tomorrow's my mother's birthday. And today she was on, thank you. And today she was on the phone. I sent her this, I sent her flowers. And she was reading some of the things that I've done and looking at some of the things we've done with QuickBooks and produced. And she was crying. She said, I don't know where you got this from. This would have killed me. I couldn't do what you're doing. And even though my father that time told me it sucked to be me, that really wasn't what he meant. He wasn't talking about blindness. He was talking about the transition, that change, that stuff that we're not really comfortable with that caught us, no pun intended, blindsided, you know? And I rose to that occasion because my father did raise me to be that way. So I started living my life as a blind person in Manhattan, and Ron thinks the subways are difficult. The streets of the city are even more difficult to navigate. My cane was stepped on and broken 3 times. In the first, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm the center of attention. Oh, Margie, you really have a lot of fans here, don't you? Wow. That's our nudge. You know, it was just, and it was broken the first 3 months of being blind. And the last time it happened, well, the first time it happened, I should say, it was the day before I was about to get on the train to go to Philadelphia. Oddly enough, that's where I was thrown off a plane. And I was freaking out. I did not know where to buy a cane at that point. And the lady who broke my cane, I'll tell you a clean story of what I said to her, wanted me to go to Duane Reade to buy one. Yeah, no. Then she thought we could tape it. No. And then she had the audacity to say to me, well, at least let me see you home. I couldn't help it. Educator in me said, what makes you think I can trust you to see me home when you couldn't see me to begin with? Fortunately enough, I had a fantastic mobility instructor. I called her hysterical because I did not want to give up my first time riding Amtrak as a blind person. And she had one in her back pocket, so I called. So the next time that my cane broke, I was going for my mobility instructor, the approval. I was getting, you know, my freedom to be independent, I guess. And two people stepped on my cane that day, totally by accident. It was weird. It's a very weird place in New York City, 57th Street and 8th Avenue. You go down the stairs, and it's sort of the subway station entrance is set back, but you've got to go two blocks underground. I went from 13th Street, east side of Manhattan, all the way up to 57th and 9th by subway, and my cane broke, and it was like this limp noodle. And I'm going down a flight of stairs, and I was determined to continue doing what was expected of me, to get home. And as I go down to the base of the stairs, I hear this woman say, "Go right, go right." Now, I looked at her and I'm like, "Excuse me? I will in a minute." I couldn't go right because there was a wall. I had to go left. She said it again, but this time she seemed really perturbed. I said, "Go right, go right." Now, you know that I am my mother's son. So I turned to her to say something, and at that precise moment, Annalyn, my mobility instructor, said, "Albert, please don't say it." And she's laughing hysterically. And I'm, the beads of sweat are pouring down my head because I'm trying to do my best. And Annalyn is laughing. I said, "Annalyn, what the hell is so funny?" "The lady who was telling you to go right, go right." I said, "Yeah, what was her damn problem?" "She was blind and she had a guide dog. The dog was looking at your breath." She said, she said that the guide dog was so preoccupied with my broken cane and my upset that he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, which was walk her safely up the stairs. And all Annalyn saw was this big bubble over the dog's head saying, "Get a dog." And that's when I got doxology. 3 weeks later, I got the approvals of being going into that program. It's just, you know, my entrance into the blind community has been nothing short of comical, and you know, it's been a blessing. I really, truly, truly believe that my blindness is a gift. Thank you. You know, I really have never seen more clearly in my entire life. I was walking around the streets of Manhattan in my New York Minute mindset with intentional blinders on, that I don't know how I became so intentionally blind, except for social implications and dictates. You know, we don't want to stop and say hi to people. We're too busy. And now, since I can't judge that book by its cover, I have to stop and read it. And it's been one fantastic experience. Pastor Lee was talking before about access to life, I think he said. You know, and that's one thing that I had taken from me. And I don't understand why. So one of the things that I believe as an educator, as a member of this community, that access equals ability. Yes. So what we have, my new mantra is access to the right tools promotes ability and restores infinite possibilities. And the thing about that, and I'm going to tie it back to what Foster said about inclusion, including people, everybody has ability. It doesn't matter whether we're blind or not. If we don't have access to the tools, we're not going to be able to do a damn thing. And I think back to what Again, Forster was saying before, I was so moved by what he was saying. If we don't look at the collective we, those of us who are visually impaired, those of us who are severely visually impaired, those of us who are legally blind, and those of us who are overachievers like myself, totals. We're going to always do ourselves an injustice, and we're going to send a mixed message to the general public about what needs to be done. Now, take that to another level, playing on the inclusion thought that Forster said. We are not the only, bless you, community that uses assistive or adaptive technologies. There's a wider group, a wider community of people. They're called print disabled. They're not necessarily blind. There are people like Gabrielle Gifford, Congresswoman. There are people like my cousin, cerebral palsy. People with Parkinson's disease, people with any number of mobility issues. And they also happen to be one-third of every executive in this country today severely dyslexic. Once we start embracing and inviting the discussion about other people who use the same tools as we do, they're going to really appreciate what it means to be able to do something with your eyes closed. How many times have we heard that? Oh, I can do it with my eyes closed. Well, if they want to do it with their eyes closed, why does blindness get such a bad rap? Okay? Now, I'm going to take it a little further because I could see. I've been blind 8.5 years now. When we all look, I'm not buying you anything for Christmas, but thank you. When we all want to believe in a higher power, whether it's God, Yahweh, Jehovah, whether it's the forces of nature, like the Native Americans, or whether it's in ourselves, that's called blind faith. When we want to find that friend, that best friend, that spouse, that partner, that wife, that husband, we want to be with somebody that we have complete and utter blind trust with. And then when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, I'm not allowed to curse here, Donna told me. But Mitch said crap.
Yeah.
Okay. We go to the court. And the court is supposed to dole out justice how? And what is Lady Justice wearing? A blindfold, proving to me, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. We see with our heart, we see with our ears, we see with our senses. We don't necessarily see the truth with our eyes because it gets skewed. Now, most people who don't have the pleasure and the privilege of being blind like us tend to think incidental learning experiences come through vision. Well, that's true, but they also kind of skew the truth and they confuse issues. Helen Keller once said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Now, Ron talked about my vision. I might not be able to see like everybody else, but my vision is strong. My vision is committed to making sure not only my peers have access to tools that they need to be able to create their own possibilities, but more importantly, I believe in preventative medicine. I'm not all about triage because, you know what, no offense, but some of us older dogs, we don't want to learn tricks. All right? We don't want to learn new tricks. But we have, for the first time, an opportunity as a collective community to give our blind youth, our print disabled youth, an opportunity to pursue careers of their own choosing. Yeah. It all begins with a conversation. I picked up the phone. As an ACB member, thanks to an affiliate that would remain nameless, because the finances of that organization could not be managed independently. I was put in touch with the most dynamic woman I've ever met and the most empathetic woman I've ever met, and she was doing things because they were right and because she knew it would be a good return on the investment for this corporation, Lori Samuels. We've worked with Intuit to make QuickBooks usable more than it's ever been in 25 years. The reason I'm sharing that here is I want everyone to know there are corporations out there with programs that are as old as, no, that's not the M word I wanted to say. Intuit's product line. Before the ADA, before Microsoft managed to get us where we are today. Aside from being angry, upset, annoyed about what we don't have with regard to access, let's look at how we could open up to mitigate and educate organizations about access rather than litigate. That's the one thing. That's why I'm here with the ACB and not the other organizations, because I do not believe litigation is the first thing we should lead with. Yeah. Now, Ron spoke of our U.S. Airways experiences. I never got my platinum card. But that was the most, well, at first, oh, well, I can't do that because that's a whole nother conversation. At first, it was the most humiliating, subjugating experience since I was told I would never see again, at least not traditionally. For 43 minutes, I stood in the terminal wondering if I was going to get home. What did I do so terribly to this woman that I couldn't get on that plane? And those of you who know me, it's plausible that I might have said something. But my dog was never out of control. He was not Cujo running up and down the aisles. Not at all. Nope. Anybody who has a guide dog knows the guide dog, unless it's Margie's dog, is running up out of control. They never do that. Guide dogs never do that. But what was, in that 43 minutes where I stood there wondering if I was going to get on that plane or whether I was going to be hoofing it home with Doxy, those 35 people got off. And what I want you all to know is we know at least two people in our lives who are like those 35 people. I don't know why I was picked or chosen to be that person, to be this voice. But I take that very seriously. And that those people got off the plane with me, 35 people. There was a couple there who had been traveling 24 hours from Europe. I will never, ever think human kindness does not win out. So when we sit here and we think about, oh, you're not doing it for the blind, or you're not doing it for the low visions, or you're doing it for low vision, but then what about the blind? When we start dissension amongst our own community, and we start thinking human kindness does not really live within each person, we add to that diminished capacity that some of us walk around with because there's so much stuff out there to make us not see clearly. And the thing about the sighted community is they're already intentionally blind to so much, we don't want to add to that going forward. There's so much that we could do together in a collective voice. And one of the things that I've seen here tonight is the CCB has got that all wrapped up. You can go ahead and clap, Foster. I wasn't sure what to expect, as I wasn't sure what to expect when I went to my first ACB convention. I'll be honest with you, I thought I was going to be walking into a lotto machine with ping pong balls, bouncing off of everything, and not knowing who I was going to hit next. But I'm happy to say that I've met so many people who have inspired me to be a better person, that I don't define myself as a blind person. I define myself as a person, and whatever other labels you want to put on, you put on. I still see. I just see very differently than most people. To be sitting next to Mitch and Donna, to be sitting here with Vita Zavoli, I'm going to say it only once, Margie. Margie, I have to say, as much as we all don't like her, Margie was the impetus for the introductions that I got through my blind spot to do what we've done with QuickBooks. So when I saw that humanitarian award go out, I kind of said, yes, she deserved it. Then I got my friend Pamela Hill. Yeah, I don't love you anymore. I've got my friend Pamela. I've got so many people on the West Coast that have really made me feel good about who I am as a member of this community. And I want you all to look inside yourselves, and I want you to feel worthy of asking for access. I want you to let me know if you don't have the strength in your own voice that you can use mine. I want to say thank you very much for being here today. I want to say thank you for inviting me. And I'm just very proud to be a member of this community. Thank you.
And you're all blind. You can't tell how emotional I am right now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mitch.
I want to thank you, Albert, and I just want to say as the speaker, I want to say a couple of prerogatives. So you did two things that I want to call out, and this is, you know, as a person who lives in Arizona, I adopted Arizona later. Gabby Gifford is one of my heroes. I am so grateful that you mentioned her. What a woman. I also want to say that, you know, as parents, those of us who are parents, you know, we do so much for our kids, and I have a child who has dyslexia, and one of the things that is most amazing to me is to think about how other people see my kid. They see, you know, my kid as a kid who has limited potential because he has a reading disability, and when I think about people like you, Albert, and the, you know, who are trying to change that perception. And I think about people like Steve Jobs, who was dyslexic and who didn't let it stop him. I have faith that we will move forward. And it's just so awesome. And I am so grateful for you for bringing those things forward. Now, before we have one last thing to do, before we all head up to hospitality and really get, you know, completely, yeah, that. So we got one more thing to do, but first we're going to do two more door prizes. Let's do one now, and then we're going to have some more folks, some more raffles and good stuff like that, and then one more, and then we'll turn you upstairs to support the California Capital Chapter. So, door prize. We have, all right, so we got another basket from the Glendale chapter, greater LA chapter, I'm sorry. Glendale Burbank, I'm sorry. You know, I'm from Phoenix, it's all the damn same to me. So this got flowers on the outside, chocolate on the inside, and who's getting it?
We'll have Joe draw.
He's from California. He's not going to cheat.
Monique Morissette. Okay, draw again. Chris Gist. Are you here? All right, draw again. Keith Johnson. Hey! All right. So, So I am, oh, we're going to do another one here. What do we got? All right. Okay, so we have got some fudge from Katrina McCurdy, and inside the fudge they buried an 8 gig thumb drive. I'm not sure if that still works, but from Guiding Eyes for the Blind. By the way, speaking of fudge, my wife told me to find John Ross and buy fudge. So if you're here, you got a customer. Here we go. We're drawing it. Wayne Dick. You here?
Is he in the... Yay, Wayne!
All righty then.
Right.
You know, after I sat in resolutions for about 6 hours last night, I can't believe they're letting Joe Xavier draw anything, but that's just awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. That's for tomorrow. Okay, so I just dug deep into my pocket and pulled out my raffle tickets. And we've got some raffles and some drawings to do. So if you have one, how do we want to do this? Just have people come on up, come to the front head table. We'll make a little line so you can give your stuff away. I got my tickets ready. Let's do it.
Right over here is the head table. Head table up this way.
Just all right, who we got? Charlene Ornelas, and you are giving money away. I'm sorry?
She's going first.
This is the good duck. GDUC has got their raffle, okay. And what are you guys doing here?
Oh, it's a 50-50. I have some good news. Gaduck got, out of this 50-50, $151. That means the winner is getting $151.
All right.
Done it. Why don't you
do it? All righty then.
I had so many tickets, I had to change
bucks.
My bucket to a bag.
I need this.
Okay, I'm mixing them up.
I'll hold the mic. And I'll get
okay, I have a ticket.
Okay, you're going to read it?
We're drawing.
Okay, I'm going to only read the last three
four.
Numbers because the rest of them are all the same. It's 442, and they're Braille tickets. They're also like the blind students, so be careful which ones you're reading. It's 442.
Do they have to be here to get it?
Yes.
All right, so 442. 442.
I don't know.
If someone won it, please raise your hand
I'm
so we can see you.
I'm hoping that you're not here because that's not my number.
Leslie Tom won it.
All right, Leslie. Okay, Leslie Tom won it. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Leslie. That's some serious prize right there.
Okay, we've got Polly and
we got Lena from the Blind Students of California. Come on and do it.
Whoops, hi. Okay, I've got one more to put in. Okay, so we actually have... we actually have five prizes, four of which are coaching sessions from our illustrious board members. So the first, we're going to do the cash prize last. The first prize is a coaching session from Artis Bazin. And what is your... business coaching session from Artis. And here is the winning ticket. Yes.
The last three numbers are 736. 736. 801 736.
Rob Turner. All right. San Francisco. All right.
You want to draw another one?
Silicon Valley. Sorry about that.
So the next prize is a life coaching session with Linda Perel.
And the winning numbers 847. 847. 847. 847. Who got it? Foster Brown?
Foster Brown, all right.
847, Foster Brown. Okay, here's your...
artist, do you remember what Lisa... Yeah. Okay, so Lisa's is a free counseling session? I don't know.
And the winning number is 670. 670.
It is. That's me.
Okay. Okay.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So this one is for... I don't know how many of you know what Reiki is, but it's an energy healing modality, and that's from me.
And the winning number, 589. 589. 589. 589. Mike Keithley.
Mike Keithley.
Mike Keithley, okay.
Here's your back. Okay. Oh, you want to do the... Yeah, that's... Okay. Mix them up really good. Yeah, I want to. So the final prize is $75 cash.
Winning number is 809. Judy Wilkinson. Mike Keithley? Okay. All the tickets are put back in here, and there you go.
Cash is being handed to you.
Oh. Okay, come on over here. Oh, come with me. Here's your bag, artist. And let's go over to Judy. And here's
Judy.
I don't have it. It's Lena.
Lena, oh,
you give it to her. Polly. Coming, Polly.
All right. We have a bunch of chocolate raffle prizes to give out. We got three prizes. This is the ACB Capital Chapter. They're the red tickets with the cut corners. All right, so the first prize will be a solid chocolate golden retriever.
Oh, man, yes. Bring this home. Let's go.
I'm going to let Joe draw the ticket. I can read it. And the winning number is 063.
Ah.
The last three numbers is 063. They're red and they have cut corners on the top. I'm not hearing anyone for 063 yet.
Did someone get it?
Nope. Okay. We'll draw another one for the...
All right.
The next... This one's hopefully a good one.
I need
And
this.
It is 645. 645. 645. Oh, we got it over there?
Oh, man. Wait a second.
All right. The golden retriever. All right.
That dog is named Boomerang.
The next one is for the solid chocolate Labrador. And I'll let you go ahead and draw again, Joe. Oh, I moved it by. All right, and the winning number is 808. 808.
Isn't
Yeah,
yeah, there's
California.
Quite a few area codes in these tickets. All right, last call for the 808. Not here? All right, it's going to go to the next one, which is 812.
Southern Indiana.
812. Anyone for 812? Wow, okay. 749. All right, Peter. Yes, sir. And our third and final prize is the big one, 14 pounds of chocolate. It is a chocolate Easter basket filled with chocolate and topped with a giant solid chocolate hen.
A chocolate chicken.
That's diabetes right there. It's going to 753. 753. Oh, Peter's won them both.
Peter.
Hey, Peter, you have a lot of chocolate. Congratulations.
Okay, listen carefully. Listen, listen. That is so clucked up.
Okay.
What do we have?
So, we got one more door prize before we send you through the door. This is a Harry and David food and snack box from the Capital Chapter. And let's see. That sounds like an Arizona gunfighter.
Steve Ford,
all right. I am going to, just real quickly, I want to thank everybody for coming. I am going to turn the microphone over to the CCB president, Donna Pomerantz, who will send you out the door. Donna?
All right. First of all, everybody give a huge round of applause. Let's see if you get louder than our neighbors for Ron and Albert. And everyone, remember, tonight is hospitality or resolutions. You choose. And tomorrow is our business meeting. We'll be starting nice and early. I want to thank each and every one of you for making our banquet on our 80th year a wonderful, wonderful experience. I also want to tell you that I never thought that you guys would bring me to tears twice in one night, because Roger, our awards committee chair, somehow managed to keep from me the surprise of Mitch getting into the Hall of Fame tonight as well. So I didn't know. He made huge excuses about trying to get them together by phone and they can't get together. And oh my God, you guys are too much. Thank you so much. Again, let's celebrate 80 all year. Enjoy, have a blast, and we'll see you tonight or tomorrow.